In September of 2026, Writing Excuses will host an in-person writing retreat aboard Voyager of the Seas, where attendees can hone their craft and connect with fellow writers for a week along the coasts of Canada and Alaska. You can learn more at writingexcuses.com/retreats, but I'd like to tell you about our scholarships. Scholarships are available. Applications are due by December 31st, 2025. Visit www.writingexcuses.com/scholarships. But don't delay. The deadline is coming right up. Recipients of these scholarships, the Writer of Color Scholarship or the Out of Excuses Scholarship for writers with financial need, will receive full retreat tuition as well as travel assistance for the 2026 Alaskan cruise. Please share this post with the writers in your life. The rules and application instructions are posted at www.writingexcuses.com/scholarships. And all scholarship applications are due by December 31st of 2025. Our scholarship program has introduced us to some outstanding writers, and we're excited to meet this year's recipients.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 20, Episode 51. This is Writing Excuses.
Howard's personal writing process.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Won.
I'm Dan.
I'm Erin.
And I get to drop the word magnum opus when I talk about Schlock Mercenary, because I made it for, my name's Howard, I made it for 20 years. I made it for 20 years, and for that whole time, I wrote comics the same way. And this process is one which, no lie, every time I've described this to another cartoonist or another comics person, they've looked at me and then taken a couple of steps back in case whatever that thing I have is contagious. Because it was just so weird. What I would do is write in Microsoft Word, except I was writing in landscape mode instead of portrait mode. And I had pre-laid each document with four big text boxes that were empty, that were just panels, and I could grab the corners of them and resize them as need be. And then I had some other little text boxes with the various comic fonts that I was using in them, and I would drag a text box into the panel and begin writing dialogue in that voice. And when it was done, I would grab another text box, or I would duplicate the first one and do another line of dialogue. And the whole time I'm doing this, I am imagining the faces and the poses and the backgrounds and whatever of what goes in the panels. And so it was a very visually oriented approach to creating a comic strip, to creating a script. You know, I had to have the pictures in my head, and I had to have a place on the page where I could imagine them being. The place where the process gets weird is that the output of this was an 8.5 by 14 laser printed sheet that had the panels the size they were going to be, that had the font and the text the way it was going to be. And I just penciled and inked right on that and drew dialogue bubbles around it and then scanned it and sent it off to the colorist.
Well, you are crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't do comics, like, and that sounds like madness.
I was an art major in college, and that is wackadoo.
It is wackadoodle-doo. And the biggest problem with it, which it's one of those things where you think, I will never need this. I will never need to have my work translated for other languages or anything like that. No, the art and the text and the dialogue bubbles are all in the same layer. Mm-hmm. There's no translating. If the translation won't fit in the bubble I drew, well, it won't fit. Mm-hmm. But I was fast. I could script a week of comics in one sitting. I could pencil a week of comics in like 90 minutes.
Wow.
Just plowing through the pencils really fast. And then I got to do the part that I loved, which was turning on some relaxing music and setting the pencils in front of me and inking. Mm-hmm. Was it Kevin Smith? Was it Clerks, where somebody talks about, you know, inkers are just tracing? I'll ink an outline around your corpse, whatever. Inking is so relaxing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's the point at which my pencils are loose and terrible, but it's the point at which I look at what I've put on the page before and make the final decision about which lines are good. And my whole process centered around these three stages in which, one, I'm really thinking about the story and really picturing what has to happen. And then I'm doing this composition with pencil and trying to figure out how these pictures work. And then three, I'm relaxing and finishing it. And inking for me was the reward. And yeah, that process was weird, but I did it for 20 years. Every last Schlock Mercenary original is laser printed with hand ink on it.
One of the things that I'm going to say that I've also heard you talk about is that even though your process stayed the same, your craftsmanship got significantly better over the course of that. I have seen season one of Schlock, and your art is present.
The way I described it for science fiction fans, the way I described it for science fiction fans, is the only way for my early artwork to suck any harder is for us to raise the ambient atmospheric pressure.
We have had this conversation, and it's not like it is doing the job that you needed it to do. But what happens with your later art is that it's not just doing the job that it's supposed to do. It is elevating the story at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I learned a lot over the 20 years. And what's fascinating to me from where I'm sitting right now is that for everything I learned about telling a story more effectively, about writing dialogue that more closely fits the voice of a character now that I understand them, about composing panels so that the eye is drawn where the eye needs to be drawn, all of these things that I learned, they fit within the original process. The original process did not change. All that changed was the content that I was putting into it.
Well, I wanted to ask if you ever thought about changing that process, or I guess a better question is, you clearly didn't change that process. As you became a better artist, as you became a better writer, what was it about that specific part of the process that you felt like, nope, this, I really want to keep it the way it is?
I actually want to back up one second. Let's start with, how did you develop this process, right? I mean, was this completely sui generis that you just sat down day one to do Schlock and that's how you did it? Or
there was a page online, no longer available. It was Bill Amend of Foxtrot talking about how he created comics. And he would lay out the panels first. And then he had ruler lines. And then he would handwrite where the dialogue went. And then he would draw the characters. Mm-hmm. And I tried that. Before I was actually creating the strip, I tried handwriting, and because I am not a trained artist, I was holding the instrument wrong. I developed hand pain almost immediately, and I realized if I have to handwrite the story I want to tell, I'm not going to tell it. I got to find another way to do this. What if I write the text on the computer? Well, how do I feed this page where I've drawn the... Oh, wait, I can have the computer draw the panels. Mm. Mm. And that, aha, I basically took Bill Amend's process and thought, well, I can just do all that early stuff on the computer and then draw the pictures. Mm-hmm. But to Dan's question, several times I considered changing it. And I flirted briefly with, I'm going to put the dialogue in later, or I'm going to prelay the dialogue on a template version up here above me and then draw on all blank panels and then lay so that I know where the dialogue is going to fit. And every time I did that, I had panic attacks about this is going to make me less productive. There's going to be a learning curve. Mm-hmm. And my paycheck now depends on me putting out a comic, me putting up a comic once a day. I could make...
You couldn't change horses midstream.
Right. Yeah. I could, with that process, I think my record was 3.5 weeks of comics created in 1 week. But I needed to be able to do that because sometimes people get sick. People need to take a week off. At one point I had a 70-day buffer, and then I went and drew a deck of Munchkin Starfinder for Steve Jackson Games after taking a 3-week Balkan cruise. I was away from home between the cruise and the Worldcon and Gen Con. I was away from home for a month and didn't make any comics during that time because my process allowed me to work far enough ahead that I could do that. Mm. There were also times, Dan, where I looked at upgrading Microsoft Word and realized, oh, wait. If they break the text box feature, I'm a dead man. So I'm going to go over to this other computer and install the new Microsoft Word and see if it'll do what I want it to do. And I reached a point where the new version of Microsoft Word no longer did things the way I needed to do them. It started rounding the corners of the text boxes, and I couldn't find a way to fix that. And so my work computer was then locked to that version of Microsoft Word.
Yeah. Something that I want to flag, because I think it's useful for the listeners, and then we'll go to break, is that the way you started was that you saw someone else's process and you adapted it for your needs and you jettisoned the pieces that didn't work. So this is, I think, a really good metaphor for the things that we're talking about for our listeners. It's like, we're describing our process for you. You hear another writer describing their process. It's not the process that makes them, it's the way the process works with your brain, that interface, and jettisoning all the parts that don't work for you, including parts of your own process. If you are afraid of upgrading, if that's going to get in your way, you don't have to move up. I knew people who still knew people who were still writing on Word Pro or some things that don't programs that don't exist that still need floppy disks.
Mm-hmm. Into the early 2000s, Spider Robinson was writing on a Mac Classic in WordPerfect for Macintosh, and it was on a computer that couldn't connect to the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the point of all of this is, as we've been talking, make sure that you are thinking about the pieces that you're like, ooh, that sounds fun and interesting. And now we should probably take a little break.
Yeah, we're going to go for a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about my new process and mention spiders.
One of my favorite things to do when I'm writing is to talk to a subject matter expert to kind of get new ideas or just to sort of dig into a topic more deeply. So I was watching Masterclass. They've got this class by John Douglas called Think Like an FBI Profiler. And just in the first few minutes, when he was talking about being a young field agent, story ideas just started to unfurl in my head. A lot of times as a new writer, you don't know where to go to get access to a subject matter expert, to someone who can tell you this kind of story or introduce you to the sort of skills that this Think Like an FBI Profiler is introducing me to. And Masterclass offers that. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules, if you're in a hurry. It turns your commute or your workout into a classroom with audio mode. You can listen to Masterclass lessons anytime, anywhere, just like you listen to us. Plus, memberships come with bonus class guides and downloadable content to help you get even more out of each lesson. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head off to masterclass.com/excuses for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/excuses. And yes, I am going to say it one more time. And yes, I am going to say it one more time. Masterclass.com/excuses. And then maybe you too can think like an FBI profiler.
Pre-roll, Quince ad. It's cold, but I still have to go out. As a man of a certain age, I am all over having a warm, comfortable sweater that also looks amazing. So let's talk about Quince. I picked up an organic cotton crew neck sweater for $50 last week, and it is my new favorite. It's plush and so warm. I have a half dozen other sweaters, but this is the one I reach for. Quince has a lot more than just sweaters. Down jackets, wool coats, pants and chinos, denim that fits right and feels good. But, you know, man of a certain age, Mongolian cashmere sweaters. You can pick one up for $50 when you'd normally drop $200 or more on the same thing. By partnering directly with ethical manufacturers that maintain high standards for craftsmanship, Quince is able to provide premium quality clothing at half the cost of other high-end brands. Luxurious clothing without the luxury price tag. Get your wardrobe sorted and your gift list handled with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com/WX for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/WX. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/WX.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I have a new process, but first I'm going to tell you about spiders. You know how when you chase a spider around with a broom, he's like really, really fast? This is assuming you're the sort of person who will chase a spider rather than just leave it alone. They're really, really fast until all of a sudden they're just not. That's because spiders don't have circulatory systems. They have soup. And once their muscles have run out of fuel, they have to wait for Brownian motion and osmosis to recharge. And I have, thanks to long COVID, chronic fatigue and post-exertion malaise, which means that when I run out of fuel in my muscles, it takes me forever to recharge. I am like a spider. And so my new process is built around me banking as much energy as possible in case the universe comes after me with a broom and I need to move quickly. Because I can move quickly, it's just that I will move quickly and then I'm done. Since 2021, when we recognized that I now had a disability, we actually had to acknowledge, yep, Howard now has a disability. I have been rebuilding everything, my whole life. I have a techno cane that is essentially a walking stick with a little mini arm and a magnet on it that will hold my phone, because once I taught my stick how to carry my phone would teach me to always carry my stick. And that sort of mindset, at every turn, I would rebuild pieces of my life in order to be able to get work done. And what I have found lately is that writing
actually takes way more energy than I thought it did.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down to write, I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, it was I was going to give a talk in church, and I sat down to write it. And as I started writing, the monitor I wear for my heart rate started sending me alerts saying, you've been in your overexertion zone for 2 minutes, for 4 minutes, for 8 minutes, for 24 minutes. I'm like, what is happening? I am in a zero gravity recliner with the keyboard in my lap, just using my brain and my fingertips to make the words. Why is my heart doing this thing? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't need to know. I just need to know that it happens. And I need to be aware of the fact that after this writing session, I am going to need help feeding myself. And so my new process is a lot like the old process, except I'm not using Microsoft Word and, you know, drawing squares in it. I sit down at the computer to write, but I have to bank my writing time against all of my other activities because it comes with a cost.
Mm-hmm. So now that you are done with Sherlock, I am interested in order to continue this discussion to know what kinds of things you're working on. Are we still talking about cartooning? Are you moving more into prose? What is this a process for?
That is a question that I wish I had a definitive answer for 2.5 years ago. because the definitive answer I have today is, I wish I had a definitive answer 2.5 years ago. The current thing I am working on is a bonus story for Schlock Mercenary. I will have made mention of this. Maybe I did make mention of this, talking about the process of needing to pull up the panel borders and needing to pull up the script and needing to do the pencils and move back and forth between those stages in order to know exactly where the words go. And some of that is probably an outgrowth of the original process, which had the words, you know, right on the pages. I have gotten much, much better at comics in that I can look at a page, I can write to the page turn, I can write to the crease, I can draw the eye through the panels the way I want them to be drawn. I'm really quite good at it when I have the time to do all of it. And I'm doing, you know, a 13-page bonus story, and it's going to take me 3 months to finish it. Whereas a healthy person who can put in more than 4 hours a day at this would finish an entire 24-page comic book inside of a month. The prose projects, I have several on the back burner. I have lots and lots of voices in my head demanding other stories. And I have a process for tracking that, which is create a document in Scrivener, fill out a few cards real fast, write down everything that's in my brain, save it, close it, move it out of the way so that I can work on what I have to work on now, because I can't multitask the way I used to be able to. There are lots of other stories I'd like to tell. I love horror. I love, yeah.
It was something that you were, as you were talking, I was struck by two things that I just kind of want to point out to people, that one of the things that you will have to do over the course of your career is redefine, for whatever reason that is, whether it's because, as we heard with Dan, you know, things that you thought were going to take off didn't take off, whether it's depression, whether it's life circumstances moving across country, whether it's physical disability. But I think that one of the traps that we will fall into is defining our process by how productive we are. Mm. And I think what you were talking about doing is focusing on the satisfaction of the things that you're good at. And so I think that if you redefine in your own brain, how will I be satisfied at the end of this work period?
Yeah, I really love that, because there's a way of thinking about process in the way of like, I don't know, like product management books that are like, your workflow has to be XYZ to maximize efficiency at this factory. But that's not a, that's not how creative practice works, right? That's not how making art works. And, you know, at the end of this series about personal writing process, you know, looking back at what everyone said, but I'm especially noting in yours, Howard, is in rebuilding this process, the question you figured out how to answer is how to make process serve you, not the other way around, right? You're not trying to fit into a workflow that you designed and there to make the most comics in the smallest amount of time. It's, okay, these are my constraints. These are my goals. What can I do to optimize? And it's actually been like fascinating watching you do this over the years of like finding these technological solutions, physical solutions, process solutions that let you do the thing that you want to do, not the way you used to do it, but it's never the way you used to do it. Every project is new and different,
finding the thing that is stopping me or slowing me down and going after it aggressively to kill it, destroy it, flatten it, smooth it out, shove it to one side, whatever, because there are things that I want to do. And if there's things that are keeping me from doing them, I'm going to make them go away. There was an episode of, actually it was the big portion of the season of Altered Carbon. Season two, where an AI character has been brain damaged and someone tells him, you know what you should do? You should just make notes at the time you think of things and leave notes for yourself. And the AI ends up with this whole interface in front of him of little note cards, and he'll stumble for an idea and then he'll look down and realize, oh yes, this thing, this is the thing. And I looked at that and had an epiphany and told Sandra, keep index cards stocked here and stocked here. I need pens in both places. And one of the first things I do in the morning now is I'll pull down an index card and I'll just start writing a list of the things that I want to do today. And sometimes the list is there in order to, do I suffer from brain fog? It's possible I suffer from brain fog, so that I am carrying that piece of paper with me downstairs. And when I get downstairs, I can look at it and say, oh, that's right. That's why I'm in this room. I do not love that that's a thing that I need, but I am solving the problem.
Hey, a lot of us need that for a lot of reasons.
I'm solving the problem in that way. And, you know, index cards, I think, bring us around to homework.
I'm excited to hear the homework.
Okay.
Your homework is. Howard take a is a spider. I'm a puppy. What are the rest of the hosts?
Oh, goodness. And what you're going to do is you're going to write a scene about that. No, you're going to write a scene about whatever you want to write a scene about. Take a stack of index cards. And for each beat of dialogue, each thing that would, in your imagination, be one panel of a comic strip, I want you to take an index card, draw a couple of stick figures, you know, stick figures for the characters who are in the scene, or maybe just smiley faces or frowny faces or, you know, angry eye faces or whatever. Doesn't have to be good art. On one side of the index card, you draw that little picture, and then on the other side, handwrite the dialogue. Maybe even with a arrow pointing to which person's mouth it comes out of, and then set that card down and write the next bit of dialogue. And treat an entire scene like you are hand creating a comic book. And this is not to create a process for you. This is to break you out of whatever process you're currently using and help you visualize doing things in a completely wrong, maybe right, but probably completely wrong way, and see if it shakes something useful loose for you.
I don't normally tag on to homework, but I'm going to mention that I was just on a panel with James A. Owen, who illustrates and writes, and he said that he storyboards, does a storyboard for all of his chapters, and that if he has a chapter or a scene where he cannot think of an interesting image, it is a cue to him that there is a problem with that chapter. Mm-hmm. And with that, you are out of excuses. Now go draw and write.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Aaron Roberts, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.